Good morning. Welcome to the Little Missouri Inn and Suites here for the Saturday morning storytellers edition of The Crude Life next door to Teddy's Residential. We've got all kinds of commerce on the edge of town here, cash-wise, and we were talking about the Japanese steakhouse and sushi place in between the commercial breaks here. We'll just call it that. And not that I didn't screw up the microphone or anything like that. No, no, it was a commercial break. Anywho, we were talking about the sushi. A little scared you were, huh?
Well, just a little nervous. We're a little landlocked here, but haven't gotten sick yet.
You're only hours away from the geographical center of North of not only North America, but also the United States.
Yeah, so you literally could call it landlocked. A little landlocked, yeah.
Yeah. It's good food, though. It's good food. And like I mentioned before, we go on our lunch break for sake bombs usually, and it makes the rest of the day go by very smooth.
Absolutely. Yeah, just right. A nice little carry into it. You know, stress reliever at that point. Right. Of course, for you, it's probably happy hour, getting up at 4 in the morning to get out there and change the beds and everything like that. Well, folks, if you're looking for a job, head out to Watford City. There's all kinds of openings, and in fact, you know, Kevin's one of those guys who'll probably give you a job right away, and if he doesn't have anything, it's a miracle, and also he'll find something for you. So talk to me a little bit about what's going on in the workforce area. Let's get into it right away, man.
Absolutely, and really the first thing that comes to mind is our food and beverage department, and the lengths and strides we've made in the last 6 weeks to get the word spread about Teddy's Lounge. But we also have some large groups that are in-house with us that requires a lot of expertise when it comes to delegating food tasks to the kitchen. We have a great chef that we brought up from my Marriott days who agreed to come up to help out with the film crew that's here. And they're requiring 35 days of food and beverage, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we have the chef and the film crew for the same length of time, 3 more weeks. And we're looking for an apprentice for our executive corporate director of food and beverage, who just so happened to fly up to Little Watford City on 3 days' notice to come and help us out with this important group. So food and beverage, we're looking for some cooks, some leadership there to get some great training. And then we're always looking for good talent to put on and smiling faces to be here to greet our guests when they come to the hotel.
I'm glad you brought up the chef example because I've got a background in that. So, of course, I paid attention to that. And what I noticed is the thing that I found very impressive about what you've been able to do here with the Little Missouri Inn and Suites, and then also Teddy's Residential, which has food service in the evening with the lounge and everything like that, is you've had to deal with the realities of COVID, the realities of an oil boom and bust town, and the realities of just, we'll call it food service and hospitality industry, which has got a traditional high turnover rate just in general.
Right.
So you've had really a triple storm, the trifecta, if you will.
That's what I always put my money on, is the trifecta.
What I've been impressed with is you've been kind of, you know, bombarded with all three, but you've been able to stay with a positive forward momentum the whole time. And this bringing the chef in out of the blue, just, you know, by God's grace or whatever you want to call it, timing happens, kumbaya, serendipity, it just keeps working and you're not moving backwards. You're moving forward. And the chef one is a great example because before him, you had made some investments to upgrade your menu, to upgrade your lounge.
Right.
And then when life happens and all of a sudden the guy that helped you is no longer there, what do you do? Talk about that a little bit, because that's a really important part of the story that people, every business needs to hear.
Right. And so the hotel industry, you always have that mentality where you open the back doors to the crew areas and where the staff is, and it's probably things flying around and monkeys swinging around. And yeah, that's kind of true. However, we do a great job of disguising it in front of the guests to where they don't see any hiccups in our operation. And that's the visual that we like to give them when they get here. And really, it's just all about, and if you ask my staff, it's keeping the ball rolling. Even if I'm not here as the general manager, the AGM's not here, or the executive head chef, that ball needs to continue to roll in order to stay on track. And when you get, you know, boulders dropped in front of you in the road, you got to find a route to get around it, because there's always an answer to that problem, and you need to find your way to the solution. And it really just comes from, you know, my background and my wife and I's background of having diversity and being in different environments. and then finding the solution in whatever environment that we're in. And this environment here is a little isolated and almost on its own island. We feel like we're on a cruise ship again sometimes, but just surrounded by prairies and grasslands rather than water. However, it's, you got to get creative. You have to be able to see the bigger picture, and that will allow your vision to be able to be, you know, sizable, so that you can find that other path to get to, you know, where you need to be successful and to deliver a great product.
It's interesting. I always tell people Watford and Williston is like a land island. And then here you call it basically a boat. It's the same metaphor. Just
feel like we're on a cruise ship.
Just totally. I love the cruise ship things because it is moving, even though it's staying here.
Right.
It's just always moving, but it's, right, you know, it's staying here. And let's talk about that cruise ship a little bit. Gisela, is it Gisela, mm-hmm, or Gisela?
Gisela, yeah.
Gisela, okay. Talk to me about your experience with the cruise ship and how that transitioned right here into Watford City. Because you're at the Rough Rider Center or Parks and Rec?
I'm at the Rough Rider Center.
Okay.
Yep, on the events team. Sorry, I gotta talk
there
a little closer.
There we go. Now we got some mic levels. You're on the events team. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we actually haven't been with the cruise ship for quite some time. I was actually, that's where we met, was on Royal Caribbean. But prior to COVID, we were in St. Pete, based out of St. Pete, Florida. And I was singing, dancing. I was dance captain at theme park in Florida, Busch Gardens, Tampa.
Mm-hmm. What kind of dance?
So more theatrical jazz.
Okay.
Yep, all stage, very jazz heavy kind of shows. And then when we got the tip that we were moving out here, I actually worked at the lounge for a little bit. I helped Kevin kind of get that off the ground and manage a bit. Not that I had any experience whatsoever with that.
She full-blown took over the lounge when we had somebody designated, and bigger picture, finding a solution to the problem, and my solution was my wife.
Yes.
Even when you're GM, you're never the boss when you're working with your wife.
So I did that first, and then we found someone to kind of take over that, and I transitioned myself out of that, and I actually took a big part of there's a dance studio in town, and I kind of took on the role of teaching all the classes there and starting up Watford City's first dance competition company. So that was fun. Got those girls involved and excited about, you know, training and dancing and, you know, kind of giving them a different outlook on what it takes to dance, even if it's not really what you want to do as a profession. It just teaches you problem solving and being quick on your feet and dedication and work.
NFL linemen they send to dance school.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean,
if there's one place that'll teach you commitment and work, it's the dance studio. And then from there, I did that for what, 8 months, 9 months,
all
something
winter.
Like that. Yep, all winter, and then
14 months.
Yeah, yeah, and then I was lucky enough, right? The 400 years of winter, it seems like. And then I was fortunate enough to be offered a job at the Rough Rider Center. So I took on that, and again, you know, not much experience with event coordinating, but there I've got such an amazing team and supportive team over there that's really like helped me. Mm-hmm. Come into my own there, so it's been a lot of fun.
She's an entrepreneur. Anywhere we go, whether it's Watford City or you know, a big ocean beach resort, she's gonna make success, and that's just what she does. And she doesn't give herself enough credit, because not only did she run the dance program, she was the only teacher. She did every single age group, every class, and then also accompanied them to multiple dance competitions around the mm-hmm. area. And I think that's gonna be great. You know, how does that translate into what she's doing now? Why are we not having large dance competitions here? There's a lot of little yep. girls who dance, and those are very well attended. And from the get-go, you know, her and I have a lot in common, and you know, entrepreneurialism and just that mentality, she's able to do as well. And so that's why we're a successful duo.
All right. And talk about where did you guys come from now? You said Florida. Okay.
Yes.
And born and raised?
I'm born and raised Floridian.
Floridian.
Yep.
Okay.
Born and raised.
North or south?
South.
Okay.
Yep. Tampa, St. Pete area.
Not those crab heads up in the panhandle. All right. Crab catchers. Sorry.
I don't have much experience up in the panhandle. Okay. It's a totally different world up there. Sometimes it doesn't even seem like Florida up near that area.
Most states have two different states within the state.
Yep.
You know,
that Florida-Georgia line.
Yeah.
They need to make that little section of state on its own.
They make a song about it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's born and raised in Chicago area.
Oh, so you're a Chicago.
Suburbs. Okay. Yep, we were born.
Which one?
So Western Suburbs is where we ended up. We were on the south side of Chicago and then relocated pretty quickly when I was young. And, we ended up in the Western Suburbs, and that's where we grew up. And
South Chicago gives you opportunity to get out.
Right, exactly. I think my parents identified very quickly that with kids now, we should move on and get to where we could have a good youth and make good friends and not have bars on our windows.
Yeah.
But I love Chicago, and the summertime in Chicago is the best place to be in the world.
Yeah. Chicago's fun.
Yes, so fun. It is. Not all parts, but the fun parts, especially in the summer, are a lot of fun. Winter, when people were trying to tell me that winter, oh, you're from Florida, I'm like, well, look, I grew up in Chicago. I get it.
Right.
No, I still didn't get it.
No.
When this happened here, and we hit that, actually, my birthday week, when we were driving to
We were in Bismarck, actually, for his birthday.
We were trying to go to Bismarck to do some skiing and snowboarding, and we watched our thermostat from leaving this parking lot to Bismarck go from negative 12 to what, 39 below zero?
Air and, temperature.
Yeah, actual temperature.
And just driving in the three-hour drive to get there.
Like,
we watched it go, and we were just... Yeah. The environment at that point when the smoke freezes and you can't even drive through.
Yeah. Oh, that was nuts. Yeah, we drove by one of
the power plant.
That power plant, and the smoke was coming out of the smokestacks and it wasn't moving.
It was just chunky.
Frozen. It was nuts. I was like, am I having a stroke? What's happening right now? And Kevin's like, it's that cold outside.
Well, and I always tell people, you know, it's cold when the light gets captured into a laser beam by the airports. You know, because they have those lights that are supposed to be floodlights.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
When it doesn't even have to get to the minus zero, but you start getting below zero and it captures it like a beam of light, like a lightsaber.
That's nuts.
And, you know, and then, of course, the smoke is a whole new level.
Yeah.
In 2016, it was the sixth coldest North Dakota on record. Okay, 2016. And we did a story on it. And there was something like 45 consecutive days below air temperature zero. And 69 days of below zero with wind chill, right?
Oof, wow.
That's deadly. Okay.
Yes.
But here's how cold it was. Semis were gelling up on the interstate because their diesel was... I'm sorry. Semis were stalling on the interstate because the diesel was gelling up.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how cold it is.
Yeah.
You got an engine creating heat.
Yeah.
And you're still stalling on... That's cold.
Wow. Absolutely
temperature.
Not.
So, yeah, it gets cold up here. And every time that happens, I always think of that guy 150 feet above the ground at the well site, changing the pipe. Mm-mm. You know, boy.
Mm-mm. Well, and I think the biggest transition from season to season is not only the temperature, but it's the sheer fact of the amount of daylight you get.
Yeah.
When it hit winter and we're like waking up in the morning, used to seeing the sun come up, but now it's not coming up until 9, 10 o'clock in the morning and then setting at 3:30, 4. And then
so bizarre.
Overnight when summer hits, it's when the days go 5 a.m. sun's up, and then all the way to 11 p.m. your body doesn't even know when to sleep.
Right.
It's like
I was just talking to my cousin last night, and we were FaceTiming, and I happened to walk into the living room and she could still see. It was 9:15, but it was still, you know, very very much light outside, and she's like, "I keep forgetting that it's light right now." She's like, "I'm so thrown off by that." I'm like, "You're thrown off by that?"
Which is great for twilight golf.
Yeah.
Because you get to golf a little later, so that's nice.
Yeah.
But then the flip side, man, that week in winter.
Ooh.
Oh, you go to work, it's dark. You come home, it's dark. You're like, is the sun even coming out anymore?
I've tried to convince the company to dig a tunnel from that building to this one so that I can at least just make it to work comfortably.
Right.
And they said no.
I love putting some kind of solar lights in, you know, those greenhouse lights, so people can feel the sun inside.
Oh, yeah.
It's something.
Right.
It's just,
vitamin B is important.
And even in the daylight, you know, in the winter, a lot of times it's just gray outside. Even when the sun is out, technically it's not really out, it's just you know, but we'll get used to it.
So you got the two Rough Rider, I'm sorry, the Little Missouri Inn and Suites, and then you've got the Teddy's Residential, You work at the Rough Rider Center. Mm-hmm. That's where that came from. Okay. Is there any other businesses that you're involved in around town or community activities or anything like that?
We're involved in pretty much anything that we can be. The Chamber of Commerce, we work with them closely, you know, with all these large groups that are coming in and where, you know, how do we host them appropriately? How do we maximize their experience? And then also just, you know, City Hall is well attended by myself and the missus. Just, you see what's coming in, what's happening around town, what projects, and that ultimately leads to a lot of the success we have at our properties because we're the first ones to know what's kind of coming to town and how do we make sure we capture that business here at the hotels. And then, you know, the outside the box stuff is the film crew, the Bismarck Bucks, which we're now sponsors of. And it's making sure that you answer the call, you follow up, and you're involved in the community. And this is a community where if you're involved, they're going to make you successful in whatever business it is that you're running. And so that's the identification of how to make a place successful. That's what I found out in Wofford City. And like I said, the Rough Rider Center has been a huge contributor of that. And I mean, just word of mouth is a very powerful thing in Wofford City. And we turned our reputation around for our food and beverage lounge that's located inside Teddy's. So Teddy's Lounge and Teddy's Residential Suites. We had people who weren't coming for 2 years and they've like, we've never been back. But now we hear we heard, which is the key piece, word of mouth, that things have gotten much better. And now we have 7 days of specials. We have filet mignon night, which is my favorite night, every Wednesday night. And then prime rib has always been a fan favorite, Fridays and Saturdays. But now that they're having somebody welcome and invite them to the property for those dinners, typically they get a free meal too, just so that I can get them there and then they can see that it's different. And now we have a full house 7 days a week. You know, it goes up and down a little bit, but at the end of the day, our lounge has grown and become a lot more successful than it was in the past, and the reputation's been fixed.
Sure has been active all week every time I went by it.
You know, right. Well, when you go in there, it's not even open. You just go and help yourself behind the bar. I'm surprised. No.
Best prices at that time.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody's around. You know, just leave a tip and see if anybody pockets it or what. Who knows? I did want to ask you, though, I know that the Petroleum Council is having their annual meeting here in Wofford City, and I heard some people are staying at your hotel. I don't know if you guys are the official hotel or what, so I don't want to overspeak, but I do know some people are staying at your hotel. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, you've got some oil and gas people listening to this, so what's going on with that?
So it all kind of started when we were at the Williston Petroleum Conference in Bismarck, and the amount of, you know, people from the oil community that I've never met and different businesses that I've never heard of, and again, we're pretty new to the oil field industry and this part of the country. Shaking hands, giving my card, and word just kind of spread. And people now, not even from Wofford, they've heard of Teddy's Residential Suites or the lounge or Little Missouri because I don't know how to stop, you know, talking to everybody. And just through, again, the network that we have locally, we made it sound the most efficient way to maximize their stay. I'm bringing a little bit of cruise director life to Wofford City, and we're doing, they've rented out the entirety of Teddy's, and they have, we only have about 20 rooms left over here at Little Missouri, and the room blocks are filling up really quick, but it's because of what we're going to produce for these folks.
The show's going to be here?
So on Wednesday night, the second and final night of their stay, we're going to have, we've already locked down a very good DJ that played at Homefest a couple weeks ago. He'll be there in the lounge. We have Drinking Around the World, where we have different themed cocktails with our classic cocktail connoisseur named Oklahoma Charles. He born and raised Oklahoma.
Oklahoma Charles.
Is it not the most fitting name you've ever heard?
That's just fantastic.
But if you go on the Facebook page and take a look at the drink photos that we post for the marketing stuff, they're beautiful. And I know that Charles has some connections in town where, hey, Charles, we're coming to Teddy's tonight. And he'll go to the store and get peaches for his famous peach old fashions that he does. So he's going to be quarterback.
Oh, so he's like a mixologist.
He is. Wonderful. And we just so happened to get him randomly, and he's been here for 6-7 months now. Mm-hmm. And we have people who come for his specialty drinks, and they are, he has got over 365 different ones that we put together. Yeah, he's and he's very passionate.
I used to tell people all the time that when I was doing the Basie's managing fine dining, that was the first time I met a real bartender.
Yeah.
Like a professional bartender. And this was before cell phones. Okay. Mm-hmm. This was before cell phones. But what he would do is he'd find out what the dinner special was. And he had his little black book. And he was making calls. Trout on special tonight. He knew which people had trout, this and that, everything. And he knew that if it was dead out, he'd just send out one Brandy Alexander. All of a sudden, 15 of them were this. He'd make up his own drinks.
Yep.
Because that was his profession.
Mm-hmm. It's passion.
It wasn't a transitional job.
Yeah.
It wasn't a college job. And so I started looking at him totally different. The bartending scene totally different.
Yeah.
He had regulars come in because he was Sam Malone.
He's so good. Yeah.
You know, cleaning glasses, listening to their story, shilling a line here and there, and it was great. And so those guys are really important.
That's all Charles has done his entire life is bartend because he like it's his passion. Yep.
Upscale restaurants in Oklahoma City, and he'd be rooftops and serving the millionaires, and we always try and challenge the guests to stump them. Order a drink, an actual drink. You can't make something up, and see if he can't make it. And however, there was one drink when we had the rodeo here. Do you remember the name of that drink? Because it always slips my mind. Because we ran out of what? Milk.
Oh, the Colorado Bulldogs.
Colorado Bulldogs.
You need some cream, yeah.
He had no idea what it was. And
are you
so,
for real? That's like one of the most famous wedding drinks there is.
I think he called it something else, but he knew what the drink was. Yeah, but
Caucasian.
It's different.
It's very similar to a white Russian, but
very similar, but a little. And he's like, I don't know what that is.
Big Lebowski, Caucasian,
And so the casino that's coming, and we have Drinking Around the World, and I can't give the last bit away because it's a surprise. But we have a very, very special guest that's going to be coming to enjoy the evening, and if you're here for that conference, you'll find out who it is and be able to shake that person's hand. But a blast from the past, historically, that's going to be coming back and telling his story. Ask him how he died. That's it. And he'll
gonna rise from the dead.
That's right. But no, it's really.
I'm just thinking of Abe Lincoln going. How inappropriate
you're on the
right
is
track.
This?
On the
right I know
track.
That.
That's
on the right track.
That's why I'm going a different direction. I don't want to give it away.
Right.
Abe Lincoln. What would he say? Okay. And then right as you said, hidden. Ask him how he died. I'm going. Okay. I'm not gonna say Abe.
Right. That's all you're getting though, folks. That's all you're getting. So you make sure you folks get your rooms quick because they're going fast, and we still have some available, but you gotta book them quick. But I think the reason that they ended up doing it the way that we suggested is because now we can move furniture. We don't have any other guests that we are going to disrupt during their stay who are sleeping during the day or night crews that will be, you know. So I was like, if you get the whole place, we could do whatever you want. And so a couple options they threw out. I was like, nope, we can't do that ever. I think that's illegal, but no. And but the flexibility to produce something really special for a really special group and a really important group is what the goal was, and that's essentially why they did it. And now everyone wants to come, so we got more rooms across the parking lot at Little Missouri. So.
Yeah, and so those folks listening, Teddy's Residential Suites, right? Is that the correct term?
Teddy's Residential Suites and Little Missouri Inn and Suites.
Little Missouri Inn and Suites, I knew that one. And they're right across the parking lot from each other. So, in fact, they even share amenities. I listened to one guy. He wanted to go work out in the little Missouri Inn and Suites Fitness because there were some things that he liked in there that they didn't have in Teddy's.
Yes.
So, actually, you got two weight rooms, two pool areas, two kind of breakfast coffee areas. The other one doesn't really have it. They send it over to the other.
Right.
But either
breakfast
way,
here, dinner over there.
That's what it is. Yep. Breakfast here, that's dinner over there.
Yeah.
Across the street from the bed and breakfast is the lunch and sit.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
I'm sorry, the luncheon chair. That's what it is, the luncheon chair.
That was witty. That was good. Did you just think of that now?
I might have been somewhere along the lines.
Oh, anyway, I see it. So. It's written on his
No, I don't have that. But actually, I screwed it up, though. See, it wasn't that witty.
Hey, I saw where you were going, and the listeners, I'm sure, saw that, too. That was very good.
I'm one of those smart asses that always got sent to the principal just to give the teacher a timeout.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
It wasn't me. It was the teacher.
He doesn't know about that at all.
I was in the hallway making check marks of how many days in a row I would be sitting in the hallway until it became my permanent seat. So I think you and I are very
flock
similar
of a feather. Absolutely. Right. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Williston Basin Petroleum Council. They're coming with their annual meeting to Watford City in September. Do you know the dates? Is that September?
September 21st and 22nd.
Okay. 21st, 22nd. Folks, mark your calendars. And this is, you know, this is a big one you want to come to because, you know, they set the tone for the next year. That's the thing about oil and gas companies, and I figured this out after 10 years. Here's how they operate. Majority of them, they meet for 1 month, maybe two, depends on if there's technology they need to integrate or not. 1 to 2 months, and then they manage those decisions for like the next 10 to 11 right. months. That's why it's so important to get to these annual meetings, because if you're not on the table and you're not part of the conversation, you're left out.
Yep.
That's just the reality of the that's business. That ain't oil and gas.
Right.
That's business. So you've got some rooms available right now in the Little Inn and Missouri Suites.
So
Little Missouri Inn and Suites.
Yep. So we have room blocks at both properties.
Okay,
so I know the room block at Teddy's is pretty full. This one is filling up. And if you wait till last minute,
you won't get it.
You probably won't get it, or you'll be getting the a couple other rooms. They're all good rooms, but the higher rate. So make sure you get the room block rate. And come see us in Watford, because this partnership with especially with the Rough Rider Center is very convenient to have that partnership to host these large groups, and then leave it to us to entertain them.
Do you guys do extended stay too? I mean, the residential suites, I assume that's what it was there for. It was tailored for the guys staying here for a week at a
time. Correct.
Okay.
And so Teddy's Residential Suites is our extended stay property. It's 100 rooms, and then you have a full service lounge. And have you seen the pool yet over there?
Yeah, no, yeah. The giant hot tub?
Yes, thank you. Yep, that was the emphasis there, is that it's the size of a pool, but it's actually a hot tub.
Yes.
So enjoy that, everybody.
If anybody's been to Thermopolis, like that size.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's like a Turkish bath.
Oh.
Yeah, and Thermopolis, they it just runs right down from the mountain into this big bath. About theirs is maybe about 20% larger than yours. But it is a good size pool. Yeah,
so now I know he's making up Thermopolis and the fact that there's a bigger hot tub.
Have you
ours.
Ever heard
I
of
know.
Thermopolis, Wyoming?
I thought you're. I still think you're messing with us.
Oh no,
is that really a place?
It's like Hot Springs, South Dakota, but it's Thermopolis, Wyoming. It's between the two mountain ranges, right? And they've got this hot. It's like world renowned for its minerals because the people go there for their baths. They have a public bath. In fact, when I was there, I was talking to a guy who had multiple sclerosis, MS. He lived in New York. He now lives in Thermopolis because every day he has to start his day. Parkinson's. Michael J. Fox and Muhammad Ali. It's the same disease that.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, if he goes to Thermopolis' public bathhouse, which is free, okay? It's like a state park.
Wow.
And he walks laps. It's that big. You can walk laps, right? And so he does that for an hour every day, and then the rest of the day until evening, he can be Parkinson's free.
Wow.
It lubricates his joints enough, but because of the minerals that naturally come out of there, and there's a whole pamphlet when you walk in about the 67 minerals needed for your body or whatever it is. Smells like raw eggs.
Yeah.
And you walk around smelling in your clothes. If you put it in with the wash with the other, it comes out smelling like raw eggs too.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
Good.
The sulfur's that strong.
Great. Love
but
it.
No, so it's very therapeutic as well. But anyway, Thermopolis is a great place.
Wow.
Big water park, you know, hot water.
Great plug. We're leaving today. After
we
this.
Actually will go, right when we're done.
Yeah, right. Just to head on out to Thermopolis and take care of it that way. But anyway, the point of the story is that Teddy's Residential Suite has the largest hot tub between here and Thermopolis. Between between New York City and Thermopolis.
Stop on by. That should be on our billboard.
Yeah.
We have a bigger hot tub or just a little smaller than Thermopolis.
Yeah.
Come on by.
Well, the guys in Wyoming don't know exactly what it
That's
is.
That's funny.
Anyway. For minerals, just list all the pool chemicals.
Yeah.
Right.
Essential to cleanliness. Yeah.
Just go with the Latin names. You'll be fine. Yeah, no one will know the difference on that.
Just put the serial numbers. Yeah. I have no idea. It'll be fine.
Well, what's the last words? What's the final thoughts? Because, I mean, everybody who's coming to the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference annual meeting, North Dakota Petroleum Conference annual meeting, they're going to stay at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites or Teddy's Residential. And what else do we got to talk about? Let's see, as we wind down here, anything else we're leaving out?
I don't know.
Next time I mow the grass, I'm going to make sure to wear a mask because the allergies that I'm having from yesterday, that's all I really got.
In conclusion, you mentioned a movie crew.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So just kind of the quick synopsis, the trailer version of... Do you know what the movie's about and, anybody involved and that sort of thing?
It's his favorite story to tell.
Okay.
Relax over there. I do enjoy the story, but I'm a history minor, American history minor.
And I was thinking in my mind going, it's going to start out with back in 1642.
I'll do you one better. Back in 1931, here in Watford City, but seriously, it was 1931, and the story goes...
Four scores.
The story goes is that a gentleman by the name of Charles Bannon was hired by a family to tend to the crops and help out around the farm. And again, my story and what the stories I've heard are a little different, but essentially he got into an argument with the dad and ended up murdering the dad. And then the son either saw it but he ended up doing the whole family in. And this is a true story that happened right here outside of Watford City, just a 5-minute drive away. So he took over the farm as if it was his own, and then the rest of the town were like, that does not sound right. He ended up confessing to it, and he was put in a small jail right outside in Schaefer, North Dakota, which is right on the outskirts of Watford. And that little jail is actually on the National Registry of Historical Places, and it's a very small cobblestone and cement put together, meant for two people and maybe a guard. The town thought that he would either get away with it or escape. So they devised a plan and marched on down to the jail, and they broke him out and ended up hanging him from a bridge right over Cherry Creek. And I think the interesting part of all of it is the fact that it's still in the community, and nobody really was held accountable for murdering a guy. Yes, he was a murderer, but you can't just vigilante justice take it into your own hands, and no one was really held accountable for it. So now, that's kind of how it all...
No one talks about it.
And no one really talks about it. To this day, some people like, nope, I'm not...
Well, great-grandpa was probably involved.
Yeah. Exactly. You don't know the last names. Maybe I
do. There's a lot of people in town that are like, I'm pretty sure my grandparents know things, but they don't talk about it. Like, people just don't really...
Right.
And that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this what the film crew is here to do, based off of a book called End of the Rope. They're doing the movie based off that book, and they've been in house now for about a week, and they have 3 more weeks.
Well, the other part of the crew, though, that are building the sets, they've been here for like...
They've been here for a lot longer.
They've been here for like a month already.
A group of students that came from Bismarck, and they were here building the sets way before the cast and crew got here. And so we were able to host them as well and get to know them. And they brought us... I brought them all their box lunches one day, and I got to see them building the sets. And they were 80% done, and just like, so this is how... This is how it's done in a big warehouse pretty close by. And they even have, and I don't know where this location is, but they have a mimicked version of like a downtown with buildings, but it's not near a road. It's very hidden and offsite. I'm going to find it, but until I do, I still don't know where it is. But
it's amazing what they can do on those sets.
Right, right. And how fast they do it. That's the crazy part. It just went up overnight, they got some dedicated people working on this, and it's going to be a very, very interesting movie, and we're just happy to be involved.
I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they were mentioning just how they put out a public ask for people with authentic items from back in the day, because I don't know if it happened in filming or they started realizing that, we can't have the ConocoPhillips gas station in the background, and we can't have our extras wearing Ray-Ban sunglasses sort of thing. It's we call that the Forrest Gump, you know, yeah. whatever it is.
Well, not great plugs for them. Yeah. Not great plugs.
Well, Forrest Gump, it's so funny because there's so many things wrong with that movie. Like the USA Today headline was out before USA Today was even a newspaper.
Right.
You know, things like that. Right. The Mellow Yellow Can was from a different era and things like that. So kudos to them for, you know, trying to go full on. And people don't realize the production involved with all these different things.
That was in, I think it was one of the episodes of that Bridgerton show. So, past editing, people didn't realize, but there was, one of those road lines, a yellow line in one of the first scenes, on the road.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Horse and carriage, but here's a yellow street line.
That's so funny. It's a passing lane right here.
Yeah, it's literally a passing lane.
Well, I think they're trying to develop a culture here, too, because when they leave for the workday, they're all in their costumes and wardrobe. And so you have all of our direct bills and our normal clientele. I'd like to check in, please. And you have all these folks in 1920s
and
30s. And it's 7 in the morning. And then they come back for the same. And they're whatever, where are we?
They take this Old West destination thing serious out here. Yeah. Wow.
That's how you create a culture. That's it.
Where are you going? To work. Oh, okay.
As a pilgrim. Okay. As a pilgrim. Margaret Mary, and maybe shower before work because you look dirty, you know? But very creative, and the costumes.
It's method acting, you know? Yeah. It's just method acting.
The costumes, everything looks so authentic, and they're doing such a good job. And they've just been ideal and very great guests and a great company to work with. So,
thank you, folks. Thank you for the hospitality this week and everything. But it looks like Frackleberry Hound's about ready to go. She's and look so at her facing outside. She's like, let's go to the bathroom and chase gophers. She caught two this
or
week.
Or a nap. That's or a based yawn. Off that yawn, maybe a nap.
I brought her to the vet yesterday, and right away she got out of the car and she sprinted behind the vet's office, and two pheasants went up.
Oh, she's
wow.
like,
I don't know how they know that stuff, but they know. Wow. And she just went right over, and then she came running back, like a big smile, look what I did.
With the dead pheasant in her mouth?
No.
She really is. She's the most important guest of the day.
Say pheasant?
She is so cute.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
We'll
be
back. Thank you so much.